the mission and then take the second hour and move into a work session and hopefully move this budget out unless we hear something that's very compelling as to why we should not do that. Why don't we start off, though, with Susie giving us an update on what's before us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, at your place, there are two packets of materials. There's a white packet and then there's a yellow packet. The white packet is the responses from the agency to questions that you asked yesterday. And the yellow packet is materials to prepare you for the next couple of days' hearings in aviation and a request from the Department of Transportation for federal grants. So those are for you to look over before tomorrow and Thursday. And with that, you can go on with the meeting.
Perfect. We've got a list of folks who want to testify. If anyone else wants to testify, just let us know, and we'll make sure that we take appropriate steps to have you come up. Why don't we start off with Marshall Koba. Marshall, are you? There you are. You want to come on up? Is there anyone else you want to bring with you? Welcome.
Thank you, Chair Smith and members. My name is Marshall Koba, representing the Associated Liquor Stores of Oregon. We're passing out a green folder that has some background information. It has my testimony, and it also has George Kuppler's testimony. George is the president of the association. Thank you for this opportunity to present our top priority for the 2005 session, which is increasing agent expense reimbursement, or more commonly known as agent compensation. We propose an increase from the current 8.88% to 10.5%, and we are hopeful that at the close of our presentation this afternoon with George and I and other agents, you will better understand the value of this additional investment in agents. First, let me state the obvious, I think, from our point of view and hopefully from the entire state, that the current system is working and working well. Sales for distilled spirits in Oregon are up more than $40 million over projections for 2003-05 and are projected to surpass $645 million in 05-07. This is an astounding $119 million in increased sales from the end of 01-03 to 05-07. We will not be surprised if actual sales surge well past this projection. These are remarkable figures and are a testament, we believe, to the professionalism and commitment of our 241 agents across the state. For the agents to sell more than $40 million over projections during the current biennium proves our thesis from last session that giving an incentive to salespeople works. We believe the OLCC is a sales organization. Every successful sales organization invests in their representatives, supports their representatives, encourages their representatives, and works closely with their representatives. And we encourage the OLCC to do more of these proven sales incentives and to assist us in reaching the goals and exceed the sales goals for the state. We believe that there are more sales to be captured, more revenue to be gained for the state, and more general fund for this committee to have available to spend on important programs for all Oregonians. Contrary to some comments in the grocery store pilot program, the current system works for Oregon, works for the OLCC, works for agents, and works as a revenue raiser for the state. Is it perfect? No, we don't believe so. But we come here proud of our accomplishments and ready to go to work to maximize distilled spirits revenue while doing so in a safe and secure environment with a commitment to public safety. Our priority is to increase agent compensation, as I said, from 8.88 to 10.5. We believe this level is a more fair expense reimbursement and will allow agents across the state to reach the goals of the OLCC, as stated in the year 2000 and beyond retailing manual. That manual is in your pamphlet on the right-hand side behind George's testimony, and I just think it's an interesting document because if you look in there, it lays out some goals, it lays out some the efforts of the OLCC. It's 4 or 5 years old now, but if you turn to the goals page on page 21, I mean, you can just quickly look at this thing. Goal 1, improve shopping opportunities. 2, provide attractive and friendly shopping environments. Improve customer service. 4, maintain high profitability. All goals that we support. We support all this stuff. but it comes back really to revenue and dollars and our ability to invest in new stores. And that's why that is in there, just to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to see that. Historically, the partnership between the agents and the OLCC has been strained, but has always been very beneficial to the OLCC. While we were ecstatic in our slight increase from 8.54 to 8.88 in expense reimbursement provided to us by legislative action last session, we were stunned when, after months of rumors and under the legal authority of an emergency rule given with 24-hour notice, the OLCC began a pilot project to place liquor stores in grocery stores, further eroding our fragile business in those localities and further eroding an already fragile relationship with the commission. The OLCC's apologies about the process were appreciated, but additional short-term damage was done to the relationship. Today, instead of a partnership fully committed to developing a retail juggernaut to maximize benefits to all associated with retailing in Oregon, we're hearing rumors of superstores at the border, changes to computer systems, and that our agents, even with the 2003 Governor's Task Force Committee recommendations fresh in our minds, are fairly compensated in relation to liquor retailers in other states. On the left-hand side of your packet, behind the City of Beaverton cover letter, is a task force that Governor Kitzhaber put together in 2001-03. The results came out in February 2003. 2 years old, we still think it's timely, but if you turn to the back page in the summary, we have highlighted summary number two, which, just turn to right, yeah, just on the back, increased the agent compensation fund regularly calculated at 8.54% of forecasted liquor sales revenue. So this was a group, as you can see in the beginning, law enforcement, agents, distillers, a whole cross-section of people involved in the industry. The second recommendation, pay the agents a fair rate. In spite of this uncertainty, the sales numbers are very clear. As the portal between the public and the product, we have been successful in greatly surpassing the 2003-2005 projections and are optimistic with appropriate incentives we will reach and exceed the sales projections for 2005-2007. Much of the increase in sales can be traced to commitments made by agents to fulfill the goals outlined in the OLCC booklet, as we mentioned. This document describes retailing goals, including shopping opportunities, friendly and attractive shopping environments, improved customer service, and maintaining high profitability to benefit state and local governments, and we support these goals. As business people, we realize that investing in better locations with longer, more convenient hours and a knowledgeable and helpful staff will benefit all partners in retailing. We also expect our partners will allow us to reap the benefits of appropriate business investment risk with appropriate business return. Again, we feel that the report dated February 13, 03 from the Interim Alcohol Beverage Industry Task Force is still very timely. This report had a strong recommendation to increase agents' compensation. We also remember and appreciate the 2003-2005 budget hearings when, for the first time in anyone's memory, that the agents, Chair Lang, distillers, and others all spoke in favor of increasing agents' compensation. Because of this support and other factors, we were given a slight increase of $1.9 million, or 34 basis points. In return, Oregon agents are responsible for more than $40 million in sales above projections. This is a rousing return on investment by any measure. We're not going to sit here and take 100% credit for those sales. Those sales did come through our stores. There's a lot of factors involved. There's market factors and other things. However, without the agents, and without, I believe, in all honesty, that 1.9 was an incentive, and I think people did things in their stores and with their customers that resulted in that increase. In conclusion, we request your support for this proposed increase in agent compensation. The $1.9 million increase in agents' comp from last session was divided among 241 agents across the state. It has done great things, and most importantly, gave many agents the impetus to invest in their stores, their employees, and in the future of retailing in Oregon. It is our goal that by sine die of the 2005 session, that we have your support for a proposal that guarantees liquor agents an increased compensation rate. We look forward to working with the committee to find a solution to these issues so we can continue to exceed projections and generate significant revenues for the state and local programs. Thank you.
Thank you, Marshall. Any questions for Mr. Koba? George?
Thank you.
As an aside, that's the best damn signature I've seen in a long time. That thing looks great.
I can read it.
I do have a question, but I'll wait.
Go ahead. Acting Chair, Senators, I appreciate the opportunity to be here today and talk on the subject of agents' increased compensation. My name is George Kepler. I'm the president of the Agents Association, the Associated Liquor Stores of Oregon, better known as ALSO. We currently have about 107 members of the 241 agents. I'm also the agent at the Oak Grove Liquor Store in Milwaukee. And thank you for the opportunity to be here and share some information. I hope to add to Marshall's comments and touch on a number of other issues and concerns agents have. First, I wish to convey my thanks and the association's thanks to the legislature for the $1.9 million that was added to agents' operating expense funding for this current biennium. During those five special sessions, difficult decisions were made across the board, and the association and I appreciate the hard work, time, and energy that was put in. Agents continue to face rising costs that we have little or no way to offset with operating income in this monopolistic business. We have three major costs that affect us month in and month out. Some type of facility has to be used. That means we're paying rents, leases, or we're owning. We pay substantial amounts in wages, which also include all the taxes and the payroll taxes that go with it. And we have utility costs. These are the three big ones. Our situation continues to be somewhat unique. Agents continue to struggle with these rising facility costs, wages, and utility costs, with no real way to offset these with additional revenues. Increased sales percentage revenue, because sales are going up, does not cover these rising costs. On a side note, health insurance coverage and costs for agents and or employees, this issue continues to be a concern to agents, but at this point in time it's not being addressed, and we just want to make sure that it's still there, that people understand that it is an issue. Agents share many of the same ideas that you do. We want clean, bright stores. We want good staff. We want well-trained staff. We want it to be a safe environment, customer-friendly, well-stocked. We like better locations. We want more convenience. We like to be computerized. This list truly goes on. The one question that is regularly asked, how do we afford these upgrades? Our story is simple. The Associated Liquor Stores of Oregon continue to be a strong working partner with and for Oregon. We're part of the budget solution. We're a proven revenue source. You invested wisely this biennium, 2003-05. That additional $1.9 million invested in agents this biennium directly attributed to these sales in excess of projections, $41 million. Cities, counties, and the state gets that additional $20 million to spend. This truly is a great return on investment. $1.9 million, 20.5, that's a great return. It appears agents will surpass the original OLCC 035 budget by a sales total of 7.3%. Keeping in mind that 7.3% is on top of their projections, which are also had increased numbers. What did agents do with this 1.9? And I think it's important that we use those funds to increase sales in a variety of responsible, legal, and appropriate manners. Many of us increased staff. We trained our staff better. We increased our hours of operation, Sunday openings. Many agents have upgraded technology. Better store locations. They've upgraded interiors and exteriors. Now we come to the ask. You know, we're asking the legislature to increase agents' store operating funding from 8.88 to 10.5. This requested increase is twofold. First, the increase is a great investment in a proven revenue source. Continuing to invest in the infrastructure just makes good business sense. We know it because we do invest in our stores. Second, this increase will enable OLCC agents to continue to upgrade, modernize, and improve their stores. This truly is a win-win. It's a win for the state. It's a win for the customers. It's a win for the agents. I found it encouraging that LOF budget analyst Susie Jordan did include a budget footnote, A, regarding agents' compensation, directing the OLCC to undertake a review of the current payment schedule for liquor agents. My hope would be that this would be a third-party review with both the OLCC and agents playing critical roles. I was very encouraged to see that. Discussions have taken place, but it seems like it's always been put on the back. Some of the other issues and concerns that I haven't addressed, that agents have, the store-in-a-store pilot program, the process, the store-in-a-store pilot program, the effects on neighboring agents, health care insurance issues, the technology package 301, and the potential cost to agents, the Bioterrorism Act and the effect it may have on agents. These are all issues and concerns to agents. I would like to close with some of the good news. The $1.9 million has encouraged and enabled some agents to relocate, upgrade, and improve their interior and exterior. In the last 2 years, I believe 8 stores that I personally know of have relocated. 9 stores have upgraded computer systems, if not completely put in new systems. 11 stores have done interior improvements, and 8 stores have done exterior improvements. And these are not just 7 or 8 stores that are doing all this. This is a number of different stores. I know of another 5 agents that have plans of doing major improvements and store upgrades in the coming months. With the increase in agents' operating funding, I'm confident that this increased funding will enable more agents to do more upgrades. I don't want to leave the OLCC out of this either. They've made some great steps forward. The tastings that are now allowed in the liquor stores is very successful. When I bring a new product in and I allow them to test it and taste it in my store, it's amazing. I'll sell a case or two. Or if I just put it on the shelf, maybe one bottle might go out on a new product. It's a wonderful, wonderful tool. An agent may now have a second store. The warehouse shipping errors have declined substantially. I was wonderfully surprised in Christmas time, where we get tremendous amounts of inventory. I had very, very few errors in my store. The special order process has improved substantially. These are all good things. I want to thank you for the opportunity to present this information. If you have any specific questions, I would be glad to try and answer them for you. I am somewhat lucky that I have a lot of good information that's in my hands.
Any questions? Senator Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How many of your agents have taken advantage of opening on Sunday?
It's a little difficult to put a real number on. I would say between 60 and 90. Because we can doesn't necessarily mean we will. Mm-hmm. In my instance, I know I would not make any money. I would actually lose money opening Sunday. I also have an agent that's right next to me that's open Sunday. And I know if I open Sunday, not only would I lose money, I would take some of his business too. And I've made a decision saying, no, I won't open, but he is available for the customers at about 2 miles away. I would say between 60 and 90 are open. The other side of this coin is if that Sunday falls on a real key day in the month, that would be a determination whether or not I would open or not also. If New Year's Eve was Sunday, I would be open. And when we make those decisions, again, it's individual agents. If we're going to plan, and I plan months in advance, if I plan to be open on a special Sunday, I post it. I make sure my customers all know well ahead of time, because it benefits them and me.
Follow up, please. And could you give me an idea of what your initial investment is? In other words, if you want to become a liquor store, what would you have to invest financially?
It relies on a lot of different factors, and I'll give you a little of my store. First, there's a 2% that you pay the outgoing agent for the goodwill, basically, of his business. That 2% is of the, I believe it's the last 5 years' average sales. My entity was about a $2 million store when I purchased it. So it was a little under there, so I think it was like $38,000 to $40,000 was that part of the buyout. Then I'm also obligated to buy associated equipment, shelving, cash registers, hand carts. There's an independent auditor that comes in and puts prices on that. And I'm obligated to buy that. When I came into my store, there was no computer, so I didn't have that cost. But my operation, when I stepped into that store that was doing a little under $2 million, was around 65,000, 70,000.
So really quickly, when you purchase a business, you're effectively purchasing the right to do business.
The right to sell distilled spirits in the state of Oregon under the OLCC, yes.
And then do you, as the purchaser, you negotiate with the seller and with the commission to do, how does that transfer take place? I want to purchase the business from you.
First off, you have to be approved by the OLCC. Once you go through that process, then you would become the incoming agent, and then you and I would set up a transfer date. The OLCC would come in and do an audit. They would take care of what spirits are on the board at that time. An independent audit's already done on equipment, and that price is just pretty much set, $12,000, $16,000, whatever it is. That's pretty much set. Then you look at the 2% of those sales over the last 5 years. That number is pretty much set.
But what am I paying you for? For the right to purchase?
My goodwill is really the 2%. And then you're buying my related equipment. Okay. The other issue is there, if I just signed a lease for 5 years, you're going to be obligated to stay in that facility for 5 years. If I have a computer system, and at this point in time, if I were to sell my systems now, they have $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $8,000 worth of value. In a matter of a year, they really will have no value.
Do you have a guaranteed contract with the state?
No.
So if I was a lender and I was going to finance on that, as a lender, I'm really rolling the dice that you're going to maintain that agreement with the state of Oregon.
Yes, and for the most part, I don't know, because we don't own the inventory, the
right.
Spirits. SBA doesn't want to touch us. We don't have really any asset. We might have some related items, mm-hmm. but truly, $200,000 worth of retail value in assets of spirits, to $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in related items, and that number can really change dramatically depending on what you're selling. When someone breaks into a liquor store, they don't steal liquor anymore; they steal cigarettes, $30 a carton that they can liquidate within hours at $20. They don't worry about the bottle.
But if I was buying your business, I'm not buying a business. I'm buying the opportunity to generate revenue over a period of years.
Yes, okay. That's what they're doing. Okay. There's lots of issues in that buy, and it depends on the individual stores. And the smaller the business is, the smaller the buy-in is, and vice versa, the larger it is, the larger the initial investment is.
Any more questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Senator Johnson.
I do have one, actually. You all are independent business people, but you have this unique relationship with the state. Are you required to submit your, for lack of a better word, profit and loss statements or balance sheets to the OLCC?
In years past, and it was in our manual that we had to give them basically a Schedule C every year, or the appropriate numbers. They have not done that, I think, for about a year and a half. So we deposit every day our liquor sales. We have a weekly report, and we have a month end. We go through audits. And so the liquor is extremely well accounted for. But the related items and that side of the business, no, they don't have really great control or knowledge of it. And each individual store is so different. I know if you're near a border, they do a tremendous liquor sales from Washington. They have a lot of new sales there. Sometimes the related items will be up. Sometimes they won't be. Each store is different.
Because what I'm trying to figure out here, I recognize the agents as the real partners. You're really the front-end sales force of the agency and generating a huge amount of money. But it wasn't until I heard your testimony that I began thinking about how different each one of all of these stores are. And the fact that also is asking for an across-the-board increase from 8.88 to 10.5. And I'm just trying to figure out, with the scrutiny that we are giving agencies right now, with respect to their performance and how they're doing their business. And we're down into a level of micromanagement sometimes that's probably a little farther than we should go. But I'm trying to figure out at what point does the partnership extend or not extend to knowing exactly how the stores are performing, how the sales force is doing.
I think it's an appropriate question to ask, and I don't know if a shopping survey has ever been done or a secret shopper or anything like that by the OLCC. I don't know. I do know that agents, for the most part, rely on revenues from distilled spirit sales to pay the majority of their bills. And I was in a meeting here a couple of weeks ago, and they said, well, it's going to help you having out of stocks, less out of stocks. And I looked at them and I said, if I'm out of stock of a product and a customer comes in, do you really think I'm going to let them go away with nothing? And there are many comparable products to almost everything we offer. So we offer, if I'm out of one, for either my fault or it's out of stock at the warehouse, we're businessmen and we realize that this is the majority of the gross income that comes in. And I think in my store, over 90% of the income comes in from spirit sales. And so those affect how I do business and how what kind of facility I have, where it's located, the parking availability, how I train my staff, how I'm able to keep my staff.
Please follow up. But what I'm trying to get my hands around is which of the establishments are doing well, which are providing benefits, which are not providing benefits, which have ongoing training, which don't. Which have made the investment in upgrades, have some not. I'm just trying to get a snapshot in time of what the sales force looks like. And frankly, to look at a way to justify compensation, additional compensation, you're not identical. Back in the old Green Front days, you all looked the same. I've just aged myself. But I'm just curious at what point any kind of a survey occurs to say, this is what the sales force looks like. We see it in these great aggregate numbers. This is what we do for the state. But I presume that in the stable of the agents, there are some resources and there are not some resources.
Absolutely. And I don't have a good answer for you. I think the OLCC, as they do their annual reviews, how many outstandings, how many satisfactory, what are the non-performers or the unsats, that data is available. In general, what I find is an example of one agent. He's got a reasonable facility. It's in a terrible location. He has terrible businesses around him. It's in a pretty high drug traffic area. This is a tough neighborhood, and he absolutely wants to move. And for him to move into a little smaller facility, his rent factor goes up three times. And he can't make any money doing that. He's trying to do the best he can with the facility he has. And all the paint in the world is not going to make it that much better, because you can't control everything. I think in general, agents, and I think a lot of times people don't realize, there are a lot of wonderful, nice, friendly, bright stores out there that really give good customer service, that have great trained staff. And I won't say it's a majority, but there's two types of stores, an exclusive and a non-exclusive. And the last time I was in Ukiah, I didn't expect bright, clean, and friendly.
Well, you're in my district. You should have.
But in Hefner,
we're going to exercise the prerogative.
I do. And Pilot Rock has a wonderful little store.
That's Jensen's district. I'm teasing you. I do need to move us along, and it has nothing to do with how wonderful Ukiah is. very quickly, Sander, yes.
Of the 241 stores, did any go bankrupt? File Chapter 11 or 7 in the last 2 years?
I don't believe so. I think there was one store that went bankrupt on a leasing issue here about 3 years ago. We have had a number of newer agents resign because they saw some competition that they had no control over. So there's been I think three of the agents that have resigned in the last year. are...
Because of business model conditions.
Yes.
And then just quickly, Mr. Chair, how many pilots did...
The state has authorization for, I think, six. There are three right now. One in the Garden Home area, that's in Beaverton. One in the Bethany, which is in Hillsborough. One in Bend.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Morse.
Offer a question. How much information are you comfortable providing to OLCC with respect to questions that Senator Johnson asked, balance sheet, income statement?
Every agent is a little different. I'm very comfortable providing my information as an individual agent. In the past, agents have been very, very protective of their Schedule Cs. I asked a number of agents to give me some information this last couple weeks, and in general what I saw was revenues were not keeping pace with the big three costs. Each individual agent is a little different, but I have absolutely no problem sharing my Schedule C.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the reason I asked the question was the reference to Susie's budget note. This is prospective, the reference to your budget note. And I'm just wondering if there should be some clarification, greater clarification as to how this survey will be conducted and by whom and objectivity. So I just raised that issue for future discussion.
Perfect. Thank you. In the interest of time, I'm once again going to say thank you and bring up Daryl Morgan and Peter Grapel. We've got 25 more minutes for public hearing, and I see we have three more individuals after you folks. So I'm going to ask if you could keep your comments to about 5 minutes. And 5 minutes each, and then we'll move forward after that. So,
Very welcome. Thank you, Chairman Smith, members of the committee. My name is Daryl Morgan. I've been a liquor agent since 1983. The first 7 years was in Independence, and the last 15 years in Albany. I've seen a lot of changes since becoming a liquor agent. The first major change was when the OLCC integrated a POS system for agents. We bought it with no interest loan from the OLCC or from the state. About 2 years into this program, several of us decided this partnership was not working and opted to sell our systems back to the OLCC. We found a private vendor that would listen to our needs and furnish us with a system that also benefited agents. I was born and raised in the grocery business, and I assure you that despite carrying 7,000 to 10,000 items in a grocery store, there is not one wholesaler that either wants or requires daily sales reports. You heard yesterday that this type of information will be used to identify sales trends. So I ask you, what are they going to do with that information? Every year for the last 3 years, we have run out of Crown Royal during the holiday season. They have the information that they run out. What have they done with it? I am adamantly against furnishing daily sales reports to these folks. Yesterday you heard testimony regarding decisions or discussions with agents about the stores within a store program. Let me share with you what happened to me during that testimony. After Teresa made her pitch to the crowd of liquor agents, I asked her the following question: given the fact that you are wanting to put hard liquor in grocery stores for the public's convenience, then you won't have a problem signing a request for a beer and wine license for me, so that the public can purchase their choices or can purchase all of their alcoholic choices in one convenient location. With that, Chairman Lang came back and put his finger in my face and told me, if you don't like it, why don't you get out? My testimony basically is going to be threefold. My fellow agents either have or will testify that we need more compensation. This additional compensation will allow us to upgrade our stores, sell more product, and thus produce more revenue for the state and hopefully for ourselves. Item two, you can require the OLCC to eliminate the related items list or add beer and wine to it, which would allow us to expand our revenue source and not be subject to the strangulation effect that the current process has on us. what other business has to sustain an economic impact of inflation while having a lid on what they can charge for their product? When I got out of the grocery business in 1977, the gross markup was around 20%, and a $10,000 week was a good week. Today, gross markups are over 25%, and a slow day is $10,000. This is an illustration which shows that the increased sales are not enough in and of themselves to offset the rising costs of doing business. Along with being a liquor agent, I am a tax-paying citizen for this great state of Oregon, and thus would like to see our tax dollars spent wisely. I do not believe that the current system of selling alcohol is a wise investment of our tax dollars. I would like to see an interim committee appointed and given the task of making the recommendations to the 2007 legislative session. If I am still a liquor agent after this testimony, I would be willing to devote my time and knowledge to that committee. Are there any questions?
Senator Johnson.
I'm just curious. You've said something rather dramatic here, if I'm still an agent after this testimony. I mean, that seems to suggest a pretty strained relationship with the OLCC. Tell me a little bit more about what you meant by that.
I just believe it's quite strained, and I have already been told at one time, and I believe I visited with you when you were a representative about this, that my daughter got in a liquor sting operation or got involved, that they threatened to take my store away from me and everything else if I didn't do what they told me, and I told them you can either pay me for working or pay me for not working. I mean, I did exactly what I was supposed to do. And they don't like somebody that comes up and fights against them.
One follow-up. I think I understood you to say in your testimony that you are adamantly opposed to disclosing your daily sales records.
I don't think it'll do any good, Senator. I can't see where it can do any good. Like I say, grocery stores handle 7,000 to 10,000 items, and their wholesalers don't want or don't require. Who's going to look at all that information? How many more people are they going to have to hire to take a look at that information? I think it's ridiculous.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
I'm sorry, Senator Morris.
Thank you, Darrell, for coming.
Thank you for having me.
What recommendations would you have for us to be able to help implement an objective evaluation of the stores and compensation and to determine appropriate compensation?
Well, I would think that there would need to be an outside source that picks a survey. There would have to be somebody, like George says, of a committee that liquor agents and the OLCC and possibly the legislature would pick and give them an objective, what they want to see. The last time this was done, there was a study that was undertaken to evaluate what liquor stores' expenses were. They got a parameter list from the Liquor Commission that the vendors did that were going to supply this of what they wanted. They even put basis on both sides of how these reports were supposed to come out. The first one that started into the report got canned, and they started over again with somebody else that would cooperate with them. So I definitely would not be supportive of the Liquor Commission being the ones that picks and sets the parameters of who does this study. I think liquor agents ought to be involved. We're the ones that have the information. We're the ones that know what's going on. And we ought to be involved in the picking and the information gathering.
Thank you.
Thank you. Peter.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the committee, my name is Peter Grapel. I'm an agent in Eugene, and I have been a liquor agent since 1978. I would like to take a few minutes today to show the pitfalls of today's current system, how OLCC distributes liquor in the state and compensates the agents. The basic shortfall in our system is that all our expenses are subject to market conditions like rent, minimum wage, all those things. And our income is limited by the budget. So if our rent goes up, our insurance goes up, we have absolutely no way to adjust for it. It comes out of our take-home pay. And My store, for example, produces $2 million in revenue for the state every year. I'm the sixth largest store in the system. At a 7% average commission, my store receives $280,000 in gross earnings from the OLCC. The expense picture looks as follows. I have to furnish 2,800 square feet of space in order to handle that business. At $18 a year, that's a $42,000 bill right off the top. Then I have six employees. My payroll last year was $123,000. By the time you add maintenance taxes, state taxes, and everything else in it, my expenses are $269,000 out of $280,000. I have seen tax returns from agents where they actually spend $20,000 more to run their store than it, than they get from the state in compensation. And this certainly allows no return for your investment. You have to rely on related items to have any kind of a take-home pay in order to have a decent related item business. You need to invest another $100,000 in inventory. And just for your information, to start this business, I had to invest $100,000 in store fixtures, security systems, computer systems, in order to get the door open. Yet the administrator of the OLCC has made it clear this year to many legislators that agents are compensated adequately. Now, please remember that sales, liquor sales, are our only business and are the main source of our income. When you compare that to the lottery business, please remember that all these businesses had a prior business. They had income from their restaurants, their bars, before the lottery came along. Their total investment is 200 square feet of space, and the investment is required, and the first investment, the original, is under $5,000. Annual operating cost total $9,000 a year. And this is according to a study that was commissioned by the lottery through Echo Northwest, and it was just done last year. The 13 biggest lottery outlets receive $275,000 in compensation at a commission rate of 29% each. Each of these outlets provided $1 million in revenue, compared to the 10 largest liquor stores providing $2 million in revenue. After expenses, each of these lottery outlets have a net income of $261,000 a year. And this is income of a sideline. They already have the original business. Despite immense pressures from education and many other lobbies, the lottery director last week decided to set the new commission rate at 24.8%. His comments were, "These are our business partners. Without these people, we have nothing." In my 27 years with the OLCC, no agent has ever been called a partner in the business by any OLCC commissioner or by the administrator, nor have we been treated as respected partners. Yesterday, for the first time, Theresa Kaiser made an attempt to describe agents as partners when asked by Senator Johnson. Her true feelings about liquor agents she expressed at the annual state convention of the Elks in Kaiser last summer. In general, she described liquor stores are, they are hard to find, they are in a seedy neighborhood, they are unkept, they are not attractive to women, and they are offering a poor product selection. She said these things of her own agency after being on the job for 6 months, and she had only been in the state for 6 months. I would strongly like to urge you to approve the 10.5% compensation rate that agents have requested, and it will not answer all our problems, but it will go a long way to help. Currently, we have three liquor agents that have requested that OLCC change the administrative rule to allow us to sell beer and wine. We have a proven record of no sales to minors in our stores. It's the best in the industry. We have received hundreds of positive comments from the public and have forwarded them to OLCC. They saw no reason to deny these type of licenses to gas stations all over the state, and I believe we have proven that we can handle these sales in a very responsible manner. It would make it convenient to the public to make all their alcohol purchases in one stop, and that was precisely the idea that OLCC advanced when they put hard liquor into the grocery stores.
I'm going to ask really quick if you could wrap up here in the next minute or two, because we have other folks who need to testify.
I will. This would allow agents to expand and move into more desirable locations. It would allow us to become bona fide businessmen in our communities, in the economy, and finally, it would enable us to offer a decent benefit package to the over 1,000 employees that work in our liquor stores and do such an outstanding job for the state of Oregon. I want to thank you for your time and consideration. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Representative Richardson.
Mr. Chair, sir, you mentioned as you were giving the statistics on the income to your store, you were using 7%. And is it still an average of 7% for your store, or does the 8.8% current commission level change that?
Mr. Chair and Representative Richardson, the 8.8 that gets allocated in the budget by the legislature goes to the OLCC, and they have what they call a distribution formula. There are small agents that cannot survive on 8.8%, so they have a system where a mix of a guaranteed base and a percentage pays the agent, and the smaller agents get a larger base, and the bigger agents get a smaller base. So the small agents quite often make as much as 21% on the liquor, but since that money is not in the budget to pay that commission rate, it gets taken out of the pockets of the big ones, and we have agents that make less than 7%. The more you sell, the less you make with OLCC.
In the interest of fairness, I want to ask an antagonistic question of the two of you. If it's so bad, why do you do it?
We keep thinking it's going to get better. Well, I mean, things generally do in this state. You know, they improve with age, and there's recommendations made to improve things, and we're always betting on the come. I mean, I just invested a lot of money in a brand new building in a big store, betting on the come. So I guess I'm a gambler.
Or an optimist.
I think you have to be when you're in business, especially in small business. I cannot deny that I make a decent living, but I have no money to set aside for retirement. We have no benefit package for our employees, and in a lot of aspects, we're getting by. And I would think that, I'll be quite frank, my annual income ranges, my take-home, between $50,000 and $70,000 a year. And that is comfortable, adequate for myself. But the wages that I pay my employees, I have to rely on hiring people that have husbands or wives that have health insurance benefits and retirement benefits. And I don't feel quite right about that. And so we're trying to improve things. And now and then there are little windows of success.
Thank you. We truly appreciate the time.
Thank you.
We're going to call up next Mr. Steve Brown and Mr. Salim. I'm going to mispronounce this. Mirani? Hey, pretty close there. Come on up, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you. My name is Steve Brown. I'm the agent at 1091. One of the newer agents. Been in Lincoln City for the last 6 months. First of all, I guess I'm a little bit more informal when I come and speak before the legislature. And I guess let me tell you a little bit about my background. I have a strong retail background, 26 years with Fred Meyer, 225 employee base, $52 million operation. So me coming into the liquor business was a pleasure. I can also tell you, there is an agents or a group that represents the agents. I've chosen not to be part of that group. The other thing I'd like to say is things aren't that bad at the OLCC. Do we need some changes at the OLCC? I think the us and them needs to go away. That's the first thing from the outside coming in that I had noticed by becoming a liquor agent. I also did see some very old systems. Me being in retailing, I was always used to using up-to-date modern systems out there to give us the tools so we can answer some of the questions that you folks have brought up today. As far as sharing sales information, I can't think of any business person out there that's in the retail business that doesn't need to know exactly where they sit, not only every day in sales and what they can do better in sales, but every hour in sales to be able to make a streamline efficient business. So I disagree with that. One of the things that was brought before the legislature was package 301, asked for some improvements in computer systems. I must admit that I didn't have a chance to do a lot of research in it, but my experience, again, I would like to mention with the systems within the OLCC, they are quite antiquated systems, and in the business world, I think that it would help them take the next step to being good retailers. And I'm going to bring up that. Is the OLCC really in the retail business? Is the state of Oregon in the retail business? I believe they are. It's the people of Oregon that want to be able to go into the stores and have the stores at convenient locations. They want to end up having them clean and inviting. At the same time, the state of Oregon wants these stores to end up being a revenue generator because it does pay for things in the general fund, and we need to realize that. The other point that I would like to make is compensation. And I do agree with testimony that the compensation may not be not only equitable but adequate for some stores that are out there. But I would also say that a bigger issue in my book is the way that the dollars are put aside. And it's a gross dollar amount. Straight line budgeting doesn't work in the retail environment. Meaning this, if you're going to end up giving $60 million for wages, and because we're doing so well by producing sales, which equals revenue, and those dollars are gone before the end of the year, why should agents have to sit there and worry about whether or not they're going to get their next check? Or why should the OLCC...
If I can interrupt just for a moment.
Sure.
Representative Scott and I have been asked for an immediate meeting with the speaker.
Oh.
Smith, for just a moment. And so our leaving has nothing to do with your testimony. We don't want to appear to be discourteous to you. But the truth is that in this building, when you get called, you go, and then you come back as soon as you can.
I understand.
So please continue and Representative Vakian.
I understand.
Now,
So what I guess the other recommendation and consideration that I would like to have out there is if we're going to be in the retail business, the state of Oregon is going to be in the retail business, let's treat it like a retail business. Let's get implemented the tools that will give you the answers to your questions. Let's not have the people that are on the front lines, which are the agents that are creating the revenue, let's not have them worry about whether or not they're going to get their November and December check because the dollars are already gone. Let's not interrupt the legislature and ask for emergency money when we already have a $35 million surplus in the bank. Businesses run on a percent of sales, and that's what I would recommend in this going forward in the next biennium, is that when we look at the wages or the compensation portion of the budget, it really needs to be a percentage of sales. So if it happens to be 8.8% of a budgeted number, those dollars would float just as if the credit card is. It's a non-budgeted expense because we know that our credit card expense for the OLCC is going to change if we do more dollars. Well, the wages should change too. It should just continue to go up. I guess in conclusion, because I know there's other testimony, looking at the business plan, the Oregon business plan out there, some of the things that are proposed as far as changes. There's an initiative to improve public finance and services and simplify and streamline regulation and permitting. Recommends that the governor and legislator commit to revamping the state budget process. For this reason, the wages and the way that this budget is being looked at for the OLCC, there isn't enough answers for a lot of people to make good decisions on whether we are giving the agents enough money or whether or not the systems are good enough at the OLCC. I think we need to streamline it, not make it so complicated, and at the same time I would recommend bringing in some people who are up to date on business technology and criteria that's used so that you can grow your business in Oregon and produce more income. And another point, agents need to have that security that their commissions will be paid. And not only that their commissions will be paid, but their expenses are going to be covered because they're the forefront of what it is that we're trying to do, which is generate income. Agents' commissions should be non-limited and should be as a percent to sales, similar to the way that credit card expenses are budgeted. As the sales increase, so do these expenses. Emergency funding, again, I want to make the point, should never even come up.
And I'm going to want you to wrap it up pretty quickly, okay, so the other people that have traveled here have a chance to get in their testimony, too.
I only have really one other statement, and it goes with the us against them and modernizing the OLCC. I would also challenge the governor and the legislature to set priorities for those modernization of liquor stores. And throughout the state, to make sure that they're open and convenient for the customer so that we can maximize the revenue out of them. Okay. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Is Mr. Sellers here? Why don't you come and switch places with you, if that's okay, while Mr. Nirani is testifying. And please go ahead.
Thank you. Members of the committee, my name is Salim Nirani. I'm a liquor store agent from Corvallis. I'm here today to show support for the Technology Modernization Package 301 and the Distribution Customer Service Resources 102. Oregon Liquor Control Commission's current technology infrastructure is so out of date that it's actually costing money. In terms of wasted revenue, OLCC is not able to properly track sales trends in a timely fashion to take advantage of market conditions. It's also resulting in being out of stock in the warehouse for popular and trendy items, which translates into lost revenue because I cannot sell what I do not have on my shelves. A restructuring of the technology platform would greatly enhance and streamline all areas of operation. Sales of distilled spirits have been increasing yearly. The warehouse desperately needs more help in order to process the exponential increase in case shipments. With more help, stores in an efficient, the warehouse will be able to ship and deliver products to stores in an efficient and timely manner, especially during holiday seasons. Timely deliveries would translate into stock shelves at all times, more products available to customers, and of course, increased revenue for the state. I do have an area of concern. It's my understanding that the IT package includes a line mandating agents in recording daily sales. Are there funds allocated in the budget to help agents upgrade their point of sale systems to comply with the request? I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share my thoughts. I'm happy to answer any questions if you may have some.
Thank you. Unless you've got something important you want to ask, I can keep moving along. That's all right. Good. Thank you very much for your testimony. Mr. Sellers?
Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Greg Sellers for the record. I represent Future Brands LLC, represent Jim Beam Brands Company and Absolute Spirits Company. One quick point that I didn't have on the notes on there, and I apologize for this. I found out this morning that I needed to have the written testimony, and there was a little push for time to get down here. But just something to add in on here is we do support increased compensation for the agents. We're seeing some very positive things with the stores. You're seeing some stores being cleaned up. People are trying to bring some things to the forefront and bring it back out to the areas where things are wanted to be. People are out there making a concerted effort. You're getting some new agents coming in, some new retailers. You're getting people with new ideas, and there are some very, very positive things happening throughout the entire scope of the business. So it's something that has come time for. The other two things very quickly, the credit card fees, we support the OLCC budget request, but oppose the making of credit card fees a limited budget. The reason we say this is a credit card fee is a cost of doing business. They are unpredictable and should not be budgeted. They're like a freight charge. This is just a flat cost of doing business. By trying to budget the fees, you are going into the agent compensation pool. It stifles business at times where they have to come back and ask for more money especially sometimes during the holiday periods. This is something that should have an unlimited budget in here. This is something that the more product that is sold on a credit card, the more money it generates for the state. Matter of fact, if you really wanted to simplify the whole process, you would leave the credit card fees out of here, and you would also remove the agent's compensation from this package. Because as sales increase, how can you adequately budget the compensation? This is something that it's just another cost of doing business. With business growing at current rates, it takes a lot of time, a lot of people's money to come back and reinvent the wheel and keep asking for money and stuff. If that was put off to a budget that OLCC is being run very well for compensations and stuff, and it needs to be opened up to where they can actually pay for what is being sold. Okay. The other point that we wanted to make on this is the updated point-of-sale system. We fully support this budget request by the OLCC. The new POS system is desperately needed. Excuse me. The system that is in place is very archaic. What happens with this, too, that hasn't been mentioned in this is a one-time buy investment. What happens with this is there's been some comments made about information. We purchase this information back from the agencies. We do this across the United States. This information is invaluable to us. We want to know what our sales are on a daily basis. We want to know where our products are. It's important for the state to know where your investment dollars are for inventory. It's important for you to know where your sales are. Is this a high-end store? Is this a low-end store? It allows you to dissect your business. It allows you to make the investments in where you want to make them. Timely sales reports. These are very, very important to us. We own the inventory in that Belmont warehouse. We would like to know where our investment is at. Something else. It allows for sales, for reporting on-premise, what a bar sells, what a liquor store sales, what they're actually purchasing from these. This is something that is invaluable to us in our business. It allows us to dissect where we want to spend our marketing dollars. It allows us to move marketing programs forward. And this is one of the last states, one of the holdouts to actually make the step into the 20th century. It's something that's around there, and like I say, it is a one-time investment, and it's a revenue-generating program, and it's something that's definitely needed. So, short and sweet. Any other questions?
No, thank you, Mr. Sellers. Any questions, McKinney?
I have one quick question, Mr. Senator Berger, if you don't mind. At what point in the process are you paid? Is it when it leaves the warehouse? Is it when you put it into the warehouse?
We are paid actually twice a month off a bailment report. There's a bailment report that comes down to twice a week. There's other checks that are cut in between there, but really, predominantly, we are paid twice a month. So it's when it goes out the door of the warehouse, that's when we get paid.
Out the door?
Yes, okay. Out the door.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Sellers.
Thank you.
And Ms. Kaiser and Mr. Upadhyay, if you want to make your way up. And to those who gave public testimony, we spend a great amount of time, of course, hearing from the agencies on these budget matters, but which is necessary and important, but equally necessary and important is having you here today. So thank you, all of you who gave us public testimony today. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Where exactly did we leave off?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we want to start with Satish Padahe to go through the governor's recommended budget.
So, Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee, this is Satish Upadhyay with the Department of Administrative Services, and this time I'll be providing you with an overview of the governor's budget for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission for 2005-2007 biennium. And you all have copies of my presentation document in front of you. This time I've made sure that our page numbers match. So, if you will turn to page 2, the charts on page 2, the purpose of these charts is to provide you with a comparison as to where this budget falls in comparison to the overall statewide budget. And the charts show you the budget for the administration program area, which consists of 12 state agencies, including the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. The total budget for this program area is $7,034.8 million of total funds. the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. It does not. Its budget is 1.4% of the total program area's budget, and they don't have any general fund in their budget. Although you've heard testimony that they do make a significant contribution to the general fund.
Mr. Foggy, hang on just a minute. Committee, we're working off of this document.
Well, now that we know what we're working off of, where do we find it?
LFO. Left side of your notebook's in the flap.
All right. Do have an extra copy if someone needs it.
No, the senators will catch up. Why don't you keep going?
Moving along to page 3, the functions of the Oregon Liquor Control Commission support the governor's principles on economic development and public safety. On to page 4, the governor's budget consists of $97.3 million of total funds, and as you can see that 95% of the budget is funded with other funds. And as you heard yesterday, the sources of other funds are liquor sales income, beer and wine taxes, license fees, fines, and other income. 5% of the budget is non-limited. These are the credit card fees to pay for credit card transactions when customers use credit cards to purchase liquor. Moving along to page 5, this shows the various program units that make up the agency's budget. The agency has 5 program units. 56% of the agency's budget is for store operating expenses. What that means is 56% of the agency's budget is for agents' compensation. Now, agents use this budget, use this compensation to pay for their business expenses. 18% of the budget is for the administration and support program area. Now, this program area consists of the administration and fiscal functions and also develops administrative rules, and it's also the information systems package you see. It falls under this program area. The regulatory program, it consists of 14% of the budget. The regulatory program, it regulates the manufacture, distribution, and sale of alcoholic beverages. The merchandising program, which consists of 12% of the budget, regulates the sales of bottled spirits in the state. And there's a very small portion, the capital improvements portion, that's around, it's 0%, but it's less than 1%, and that is to pay for operations and maintenance of the agency's building in Portland, in Milwaukee, as well as for the warehouse. Now, the warehouse is the place where they store all the alcohol, the distilled spirits. Moving along to page 6, this shows the various expenditure categories that make up the budget. Personal services is 28% of the budget. And I think this is a good time. Yesterday, Senator Morse had asked a question on other payroll expenses with regards to the agency, why there was an increase from around a little over $6 million to $9 million. And I believe that that question issue was raised during the Department of Administrative Services budget hearings this morning. So GAS will be providing you with a response tomorrow morning, and they will have OLCC as an example. And basically, the reason for the increase is the public employment retirement costs and the flexible benefits costs, and you'll be provided the details tomorrow on that.
Okay, I'll deal with that tomorrow, but I still have questions, Mr. Chairman. We'll deal with that tomorrow.
The services and supplies portion of the budget is 71%, and the reason why you see 71% is agents' compensation falls under this portion, which is $55 million of the budget, and capital outlay again is 1%. Moving along to page 7, if you look on the far right column, you'll see that basically page 7 does a comparison between biennia on the agency's budget. The other funds, if you compare the governor's budget to the 2003-2005 budget, there's an increase of 12.4%. This basic, budget, basically what it does, it does provide additional resources for the agency. The liquor sales are increasing, and as with any business, when sales are increasing, the agency would need more resources, so that's what the governor's budget does. The other fund, non-limited, it's increased by 108%. Now, these are all related to credit card sales. So as credit card sales increase, this fund also increases. Moving along to the last phase, the major policy decisions. When the governor's budget was being developed, one thing that we considered was the increase in sales. Sales are increasing, and the agency needs additional resources to keep up with the increased demand. As a result, the governor's budget adds 8 positions. It's 6 full-time equivalent positions, but when you count the positions, it's 8 positions to handle the increase in sales. All of these positions are the positions you saw yesterday when the video was shown here. And these are shipping and handling positions. And the reason why this was included was this would facilitate the agents as well as the customers in getting the products that they want. The budget also provides additional funding for agents' compensation. The percentage, of course, is 88% of the sales that was approved by the last legislature. But what the budget does is, because of the increase in sales, agents' compensation increases from $49.8 million, that's the number that was there in the 2003-2005 budget, to $55 million for 2005-2007. And you'll be seeing adjustments made by the Legislative Fiscal Office. They've just been provided with some new numbers that shows that the sales projection has even increased more than what was in the governor's budget, so this number is going to go up in LFO's adjustments. The budget provides additional resources for technology modernization. It's a $3.6 million package. And I can tell you, we spent hours going through this package. There were meetings between Budget and Management Division, Information Resource Services Division, Resources Management Division, and the agency to make sure that all the requirements that were needed were at least looked into to make sure that this was a viable project. The budget also adds 3 liquor license investigator positions. This is to meet the increasing demand of licensing from the industry, and this is related to a bill, House Bill 2056, which will be, I think you all will be hearing that sometime. Lastly, the budget provides resources to enable the agency to assist the University of Oregon and the Oregon State University in enforcing liquor laws during their sports events. So this is just it's a $19,000 budget to pay overtime to agency staff.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just as a policy question, and I may need a refresher in this, why the increase for the University of Oregon and Oregon State? Why shouldn't this be the responsibility of their campuses to take care of proper behavior during sporting events?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, the OLCC, as in previous years, works together with the universities to make sure that liquor laws are enforced. The universities, they asked for the OLCC's help in enforcing liquor laws, and they are paying. It's like contracted services. So the universities are paying this amount of money to the OLCC so that the liquor laws can be enforced. Now, for enforcement of liquor laws, we have local law enforcements as well as other agencies helping to enforce the liquor laws.
Thank you. Just, I want to make sure I understand this. This is a service provided by OLCC to the universities, but the universities pay fee for service.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, yes, that is correct.
Thank you.
Eddie, any further questions? Senator Westland.
Satish, on the agent compensation, it's going from, you mentioned some aggregate numbers, going from 8.8 to what percent?
Mr. Chair, Senator Westland, the agent's compensation as established by the last legislature is 8.8%.
Correct.
8.88%. So it is remaining the same in the governor's budget, but what it does is, because of increase in sales, okay, the dollar amounts are increased.
All right. I misinterpreted your statement. Thank you.
Mr. Padilla, thank you very much. Committee, you'll find a packet that you also had, which is the written response to questions that the committee had of Ms. Kaiser yesterday. Ms. Kaiser, I don't know if you want to provide any further testimony than just having given us the written responses, but you're welcome to if you'd like to.
Mr. Chairman, I would prefer, rather than to read these to the folks who requested this information, if they have follow-up questions, that I and my staff are available if this is not totally responsive to their needs.
Given the fact I don't think everyone's going to be able to read them quickly now, why don't we just keep them and we'll bring you back if need be.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
That concludes then our public testimony and testimony from the agency today. Normally we would go right into a work session, but since I think I would have a tough time justifying that I am a quorum for the House side here, and in addition am greatly outnumbered by the Senate side, I think we won't move into a work session today. We will hold over the work session until tomorrow. And therefore, committee, unless you have anything further, I would adjourn us for today. Senator Virgin?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just going to, on the record, publicly thank the chair for excusing me yesterday while I attended the legislative business at the rural retreat. Thank you very much.
Then we will stand adjourned for today.